we are glad that you're here today and have taken time to join us. At the first of the year, I had asked for any suggestions that you all might have for sermon topics, and had a couple people who suggested some things. And I wanted you to know that I'm going to be doing those lessons in the month of June. The first one is a lesson on baptism. And so if you're somebody that you would like to have hear that particular presentation, that will be next week. And then the other three obviously will come up as they do. I have two more weeks open in the summer. So if you have an idea of something you'd like to have explored, then please mention that to me, or you can send it to my email or text it to my phone, whatever you'd like to do, and we'll use those other two dates. I mentioned last week in talking about Nathan and David that God sometimes asks people to do very difficult things. Nathan had a very difficult task in going to confront David. And I also mentioned then that the prophets kind of stand out as a group that really is asked to do some very extreme kind of things. All you have to do is look through the section of the Old Testament, and you start to see things like he asked Elijah to confront Ahab and Jezebel. He asked Jonah to go to Nineveh. And of course, Jonah declines to do so initially and heads off in another direction. He asks Hosea to marry an unfaithful wife. And the one that is the hardest for me personally is what he asks of Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 24. He comes to Ezekiel and he said, I'm going to take the delight of your eyes away. Your wife is going to die. And what I want you to do, my instruction to you, is no mourning, no grieving. You don't do any of the things that are consistent with how a husband would react in that situation. And it says right after that, that the next evening, my wife died. It was an illustration of how God mourned the loss of his bride, Israel, and didn't punish them or hadn't yet gone into any kind of punishment. But can you imagine being Ezekiel and experiencing that kind of a situation? God asks a lot of his people. In turn, he gives a lot to his people. And the prophets, while being asked a great deal, were blessed with an incredible amount of power. And this morning, I'd like for us to focus on the idea of the power that comes through the prophets. And as I tried to think of which of the prophets do you see the most power being vented through? And as I thought about it, my choice is Elisha. There's just incredible things that Elisha does and, of course, is able to do. And if we look at Elisha, we'll really learn how we can be powerful. Now, that's powerful in God's terms. The world may have a totally different image or a totally different definition of what powerful is, but we can be very powerful people. You remember from 1 Kings about chapter 19, Elijah is really, really frustrated. He's so frustrated that he wants God to take his life. And one of the things that God does is he gives him a little break. He also brings to him a companion, somebody to share the burden with. And that person is Elisha. And Elisha becomes his friend, his cohort. To some, he becomes a companion, maybe even a servant. But as their relationship goes, as you get over into 2 Kings, the time comes that Elijah is going to ride a fiery chariot into heaven. Now, think about that for just a minute. I don't know if Elijah knew exactly what was going to happen. I know that he knew he was going to be taken. But if God said to you right now, you don't have to die. There's a fiery chariot sitting out front. We'll just take you straight to heaven. Some of us would probably go, maybe I might like the more traditional route just a little bit. Sounds kind of frightening. But Elijah is trying to get away from Elisha. And I won't go through that whole story. But Elisha is not to be left behind. Every time Elijah makes a turn, here's Elisha right with him. And finally, Elisha says to him in 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me what I can do for you before I am taken from you. And then Elisha has this audacious request. Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit. I want twice the power that you have. It's an amazing thing to ask. Elijah replied, You have asked a difficult thing, Elijah said. Yet if you see me when I'm taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not. And of course, Elijah is there. He witnesses it, and he gets this double portion. God gives him all of this power. And he's a very well-known prophet. Elisha actually appears in the Quran. And there are at least two instances where he's referred to there. He's revered in a number of religions. But this morning, I thought maybe we might look quickly at some of the things that he does. Give us a little bit of understanding and a little more appreciation of the power that really God brings through him. All kinds of things stand out. The widow's oil, when he makes the axe head float, when he says at the siege of Jerusalem that tomorrow this is all going to be totally reversed. And there's a guy there that says, not possible. Even if it started now, you couldn't reverse it. And yet, through circumstances that God brings about, that exact same thing happens. There's three instances that I'd like to look at quickly. The first one occurs in 2 Kings chapter 4. And this is the story of the Shunammite woman. The woman who opens her home to Elijah and to his servant. Whenever they're going there, there's a place that they can stay. And Elisha wants to do something for her, as you know. And ultimately, because of Elisha's intervention, she has a child. The child grows, and at a point in time, he becomes ill and he dies. And the woman wants to go to Elisha. And that's exactly what she does. And as she approaches, Elisha says to his servant, go and find out, basically, what's going on. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 24, run to meet her and ask her, are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right? And the woman gives this incredible answer that we celebrate over and over again. She says, everything is all right. And you look at that and you think, how can she say that? I think it's a lot of different things. One of them is the fact that her faith is so strong that she believes that something's going to be done about this situation. Another is a strength of faith that says whatever happens, God is in charge. God continues to be sovereign. But the end of the story is Elisha goes back to the home and raises the child from the dead. Now, right now, there are people in our world who claim to be prophets. They claim to have the ability to do all kinds of things. And some of those things are rather nebulous. And some of those things are real hard to pin down and be very specific about. And the one thing that stands out is, can you raise somebody from the dead? With something that Jesus could do. With something the apostles could do. It's something that this prophet is able to do. And it becomes the ultimate manifestation of the incredible power that they have. The next one is 2 Kings chapter 5, where Naaman is sent over to find Elisha. He has a letter from the king of Aram, and the instructions are there about his leprosy. I won't take a time to go through all the details, but look at verse 8. The king is so upset when he gets the letter that he's like, oh goodness, what am I going to do? I'm not God. And Elisha kind of helps him a little bit. He says, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know there is a prophet in Israel. What are you so worried about? Just have him come to me. I can take care of this. I can deal with this. I can handle this. The third one is the time that Elisha and his servant are surrounded at Dothan. And the servant gets up in the morning and he sees this entire army that surrounded them. And they're there specifically to take Elijah captive or perhaps to kill him. And Elijah just says, don't worry about it. Same kind of attitude he has in the previous chapter. And it produces there one of the passages that just so famous. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Now remember, as far as the eye can see, in all likelihood, there's military people ready to take these guys. And Elisha says, no, there's more with us than with them. And then he proves that. And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Let him see what's really there. Wouldn't you like to have that opportunity? Wouldn't you love for God to say, okay, I'm going to open your eyes to everything I have working for you? I think that would be so encouraged by that we couldn't be stopped in the things that we would do from that point forward. To me, though, the ultimate testimony of Elisha's power is in 2 Kings chapter 13. Starts off very simply in verse 20. Elisha died and was buried. That's what usually happens. Now Moabite raiders used to enter the country every spring. And then verse 21. Once while some Israelites were burying a man, suddenly they saw a band of raiders. So they threw the man's body into Elisha's tomb. Now remember, tombs at that time weren't earthen graves. They were caves or something that was dug into a wall. A body was placed in there and allowed to skeletonize, and then they would gather up the bones and keep them for a long period of time. And so into the place where Elisha's body has been placed, these guys are going to put this body. When the body touched Elisha's bones, the man came to life and stood up on his feet. Accidentally has contact with Elisha's bones, and the power is still there. That's an incredible letter, an incredible measure of power. Some people didn't seem that way. As I mentioned earlier, he's referred to in one place as Elijah's attendant. And that same place also translates that as his water pourer. He's a guy that used to wash his hands. He's not really powerful, and yet we know that he certainly is. Where did he get such power? How is he able to manage this? How does he become this individual that even in death, he has this tremendous resource? Well, I would like for us to go back to 1 Kings chapter 19, kind of where we started. And if you have your Bibles, you might want to open it there. We find that he's an audacious guy. He'll ask for everything. And sometimes we have opportunities and we really don't take advantage of what God is inviting us to have. We don't ask for enough. But Elisha is all in. And this passage is so indicative of that. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? And then look at verse 21. So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. He takes away everything he has. He slaughters the oxen. He burns up the yoke that he's using. And what he's saying in that is, Lord, I belong totally and completely to you. I'm leaving everything behind. When Jesus called his disciples, he called his apostles, they didn't destroy their fishing boats. And you'll notice at the latter part of John that they go back to fishing. When Cortez went into the Mexican Peninsula in 1519, they arrived with 600 Spaniards and 11 boats. And no one had ever been able to conquer that Mexican Peninsula. And as Cortez landed there, many of you know what he did. He burned the boats. Burned all of them. Now, there are some historians who are now saying that he didn't burn the boats. he actually sunk the boats. It doesn't matter. The story is the same. He cut off all retreat. And that's exactly what Elisha did. He said, I'm not going back to my old life. I'm going to end it right here and right now. I'm going to empty myself of responsibility. I'm going to empty myself of the past. And I'm going to allow God to fill me. And he does. And he has incredible power because of that. I think that same thing holds for us today. And you'll say, well, this is an Old Testament passage. You go to Ephesians chapter 3, look at verse 16 through 21. I don't have time to read that right now. But you'll see powerful testimonies about the power that's in us and the promise that God has to work through us. Retreat is easy when you let yourself have the option. Romans chapter 12. Verse 1, in those passages, we are invited to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. And that's literally what Elisha did. And it's literally what thousands of people through Scripture are willing to do. Tomorrow, of course, is Memorial Day, as we honor people who've given their lives. Statistics compiled by Wallet Hub tell us that 60% of Americans are eating at barbecues tomorrow. Beer sales will be higher than any day except the 4th of July. 41.5 million people are traveling, and about 41% of us will be taking advantage of the Memorial Day sales. And that's an introduction to an article where the writer goes on and says, have we lost our appreciation for the sacrifice, and mentions that 1.3 million Americans have given their life in the protection of this country to defend freedom. And that's an awful lot of people. And we respect that very much. There may be people that you know. There may be people that you've heard of. It may be some direct connection to your family, even if it's not. It's a tremendous sacrifice. And I believe that virtually all of us appreciate what's done for us. Those people were willing to give their lives. And yet God calls us to a higher level of sacrifice. He doesn't ask us necessarily, although it could be part of it, he doesn't ask us necessarily to die. He asks us to give ourselves as a living sacrifice. Every day, every moment, in any and all situations. Lord, how could I do that? I'll give you the power. This morning, if your life needs to be different in any way, if we can help you in that process, please let us know that while we stand and sing this song together.